Okay, let's now go back to the subject of what this program is all about, time travel. Surprising as it may seem, a scientific basis for time travel was established more than 100 years ago, but not in science. It was actually established in literature. A man by the name of Herbert George Wells, you probably have referred to him as H.G. Wells, wrote about this in 1895. And Albert Einstein, a physicist, and Hermann Mankowski, a former teacher of Albert Einstein, showed how it was theoretically possible to do what Herbert George Wells was talking about in his book in 1895. They showed how this was possible beginning in 1905 and in 1908. In fact, more than 50 years ago, scientists were proving time travel to be a reality. And right now, it's a very hot topic in current theoretical physics thinking. Current papers in theoretical physics actually have shown that it's possible to do real laboratory experiments in which objects were observed that literally slowed down in time. Their normal temporal processes were slowed down relative to us. And we're going to learn about what that means to slow down in time relative to us, because we're going to introduce a new notion to you. We're going to introduce the notion that my time is not your time, and your time is not my time, and his time is not our time, and I don't know whose time I'm on. We're going to learn a new notion that time itself is not something which is absolutely the same for all individuals. We kind of already know that. We know, for example, that in California, it's Pacific Daylight or Standard Time, but in New York or the East Coast, it's Eastern Daylight or Standard Time, whereas if you're in London, England, it's Greenwich Mean Time. So depending on where you are on the globe, you have already a different time. But if you ask people what they mean by that, they sort of know, well, the sun rises at a different hour, depending on where you are. So they all know, quote unquote, know that it's still the same time everywhere, but we just call it 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, depending on where we happen to be at that same time. What I'm talking about is different than this. What I'm talking about is that the interval of time, the beat from one to another, that passing interval, that magical thing we call living, that living unit we call the temporal unit, the 1 second, the 10 hours, whatever that unit is, that actually can be different for different individuals. And once we understand how that comes about, we can then begin to think about how that affects my life, your life, personally. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the experiment in a few minutes. This is more introductory stuff we're going to right now, but I just wanted to get your feet a little wet before we go into more details about it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how it was that this experiment was actually carried out. In fact, I'm going to tell you how even today, you in this Western world need to understand time travel, because your devices that you use to navigate in the world, such as global position satellites and time clocks which are aboard those satellites, must be affected, are being affected by the fact that they're passing time in different ways than you are, and therefore 1 second aboard one of those clocks is not the same as 1 second where you are. And that means if we didn't correct the clocks to take into consideration the time, let's say, lengthening which goes on up there compared to our seconds, if we didn't do that, we would find ourselves getting lost. Our global position satellites wouldn't be able to tell us where we are. We could be off by miles. In other words, we'd be in a pickle. So we need to understand what time travel is all about, because it's really a very big part now of our modern technology. So let's do some what I call temporary meanderings in the temporal stream. We're going to dip our toes into this temporal stream. Think of time as a river that's flowing between two shores, and you're standing on one shore and you're sticking your toes in the water just to feel what it's like. So that's what we're going to do at first. Before we plunge into this and flow with the stream, we're going to actually play with it. Okay, here's what I want you to imagine. What would it be like? What would it mean to you if you could live 9 or 10 times longer than your current 40+ years? Suppose that you could live as long as 800 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. You remember that? Suppose you could do what Methuselah did. Or imagine that you could live through 10 years of time while those around you would only experience 1 second of time. In other words, every you just knocked off 10 years. You aged 10 years, then 10 years, then 10 years. Your whole life would be over in roughly, oh, depending on how healthy you are, 6, 7, 8, maybe not, even lucky, 9 seconds, and you're dead. You have a 9-second lifetime. Just think about that for a minute. What would life be like if you could only exist for 9 seconds? Let's look at that a little closer now. In this case, you're going to experience 1 second of time while the others go through 10 years of time. In other words, every second you're going to watch them age faster rather than having you age faster. Let's reverse that. In this case, during each 10 years, each of these other people are going to be experiencing the Earth rotating about its daily axis and noting its yearly movement across the sky and across the solar system, so forth. But you would not. Traveling through time at this breakneck speed, you would grow 1 day older while the world around you, in 1 day now, the world around you would age more than 86,000 years. In 10 years of your life living at this rate, nearly countless generations of humanity would age more than 315 million years, enough time for you to see evolution on a scale that is like really beyond anything we can even think of. Now, the other case, the first case, is equally strange, since the world and all of its processes are slowing down terribly, so much so that the world around you would grow strangely silent, dark, and still. Because after all, you're going to age 10 years in 1 second. So that means you're going to age 1 second in one micro. Yeah. In other words, everything around you is slowing down. Everything is moving very slowly. Everything is silent and dark and still. And even light would move very, very slowly from your point of view. Light itself, which right now for us is like, boom, it's there. It's instantaneous. Of course, it isn't quite that way because it takes light time to go from one place to another. The Martian vehicle, you know, that remarkable vehicle that the Jet Propulsion Laboratory has put on Mars, in order to monitor that, in order to control it, they have to actually send a radio signal, which travels at the same speed as light does, all the way from Earth to that monitor on Mars. And it takes about, something like 22 minutes for that signal to get all the way to where it is on Mars. And then the signal from Mars has to come back, so it takes 44 minutes for a round trip between Mars and Earth. That's a long, long time. So you see, even if the distance is big enough, we can see how slow light can actually be perceived to move. But we're now really in this other weird world where every second of time, for every second of normal time, you're going to experience 10 years, which means you're really, it sounds like you're, aging very fast, but you're really looking at the world around you aging very slowly compared to you. So slow that an hour of regular time would stretch out for you to be 36,000 years, which you're not going to live that long to see. So slowing down, light would slow down to such a crawl, it would be moving at about 2 miles per hour. Heck, you can walk faster than that. I hope you can anyway. I certainly can. Since you wouldn't see light until it struck your eyes, what would you see when you saw light? You wouldn't see light in this continuous way that we normally see light, as we see it right now. You would see it in flashes. Stroboscopic light show. You would think you've just taken the most powerful acid trip you can possibly even think of. It would really be mind-boggling to you. Dark, and then a flash of light, and dark, and then flash of light, and that's it. And those flashes of light is your mind working on it, because your mind, we're going to find out as we get into this program, your mind actually exists in a realm which is outside of all this space and time, regardless of how fast light is, or regardless of how fast you're experiencing it, or whatever. Your mind moves in another way. So we're going to talk about that too, because it's very important as we get into this whole time travel story.